All right, we'll be on the record. This is the time and place to duly notice for the hearing in five matters brought to the commission by application of Questar Gas. They are docket numbers 12057 08, 09, 10, 11, and 12. And are there any preliminary matters that any party desires to raise? If not, Ms. Clark, let's begin with application 08. And as the applicant, we'll have you enter your appearance. We'll have the others do the same and then come back to you to begin the presentation of evidence.
I'm Jennifer Nelson Clark, and I'm here on behalf of Questar Gas Company, and I have with me Mr. John Mendenhall and Mr. John Kennedy.
Thank you.
Justin Jenner with the division, and with me as a witness, Doug Millwright, Division of Public Utilities.
Thank you.
Paul Proctor on behalf of the Office of Consumer Services. Mr. Martinez will be the witness today.
Thank you. And I'm David Clark, and the commission has designated me as the presiding officer for the hearings this afternoon. Ms. Clark.
The company calls Mr. John Kennedy.
All right. And I'm confident you haven't been sworn yet in this matter, so do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Kennedy, would you please state your name and business address for the record?
My name is John Kennedy. My address is 333 South State, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mr. Kennedy, did you participate in the preparation of the pass-through application of Questar Gas Company for an adjustment in rates and charges for natural gas service in Utah, docket number 12-057-08?
Yes, I did.
Does the company have any changes to the application?
No.
Could you please summarize the relief the company seeks?
Yes. In pass-through docket number 12-057-08, Questar Gas Company respectfully asks the Utah Public Service Commission for approval of $529,432,681 in Utah gas cost coverage. This represents an overall decrease of $5,720,000. The components of the decrease are $464,000 in commodity decrease and $5,256,000 in supply non-gas cost decrease. Also, we are requesting amortization of the commodity portion of the forecasted August 2012 under-collected 191 account balance of $7,588,452 by 0.07335 per decatherm debit surcharge. We used the average of forecasted gas prices from two agencies, namely Pirate Energy Group and Cambridge Energy Research Associates, to develop the cost of purchased gas. If this filing is allowed, a typical Utah GS customer using 80 decatherms per year would see a $4.43 decrease, or a total annual decrease of about 0.65%. Therefore, we request the decrease proposed in commodity and S&G rates be allowed to go into effect as filed on September 1st, 2012. Thank you.
Mr. Kennedy is available for cross-examination.
Thank you. Mr. Jenner.
We have no questions.
Mr. Proctor? Thank you. Any other evidence, Ms. Clark?
No, sir. I don't know if you prefer or not to seek to have the application admitted as it's already been filed. We'll proceed however you prefer.
Is there any objection to receiving it in evidence?
I don't know that a pleading in evidence.
We're again happy to proceed in any way. appropriate. The attachments do serve as evidence for the release gotten to pleading. Again, either way, Mr. Kennedy is available to address any of those.
Mr. Kennedy, you're familiar with the application and all of its representations, including the tables and exhibits that are attached to it. Am I correct?
Yes, I am.
And is all of that information true and correct to the best of your knowledge, you believe?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you. And I have just a couple of questions for you about the application. The difference in the costs related to QEP field services as they're presented in the application and the litigation that relates to that, can you give me a sort of a status of the litigation?
Perhaps Mr. Kennedy's not involved in the litigation, but perhaps
you'd like
I can
to
help with that. I hate to become a witness and then
that's all right.
The company summarized the status of the litigation in its recent integrated resource plan, and not much has changed since then. There has not been a scheduling conference, nor has a schedule been issued. So I would refer you to the IRP. That's probably the most current.
Is there a simple way to characterize the dispute that exists between the Questar and QEP Field Services that would explain most of the difference between what they think they're entitled to under the contract and what you have forecast paying under the contract?
I wish there were, and for those of us that are here today, there is not. None of us have been involved directly in that litigation. What I can tell you is that the charges, I believe, have been disputed, and that there have been demands made for additional information to be provided. And I believe all of that is, again, part of the summary in the IRP. Beyond that, I don't think any of us have knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And either one of you can address this if you would. This differential that we're seeing in this filing in relation to the last filing or two that have contained QEP field services charges, is the difference explained by the company's estimate of what the charges will be? Does it capture any historical difference in perspective on those charges, or is it completely prospective?
It's the current going forward. It is not trying to capture anything from the past.
Okay. Thank you. I just have a couple of questions about Wexpro Gas as well. I notice an increase of roughly 40 cents a decatherm over the last, I think, since the 110-5702 filing to
October's filing.
Right, to the numbers that we see in this filing. what's driving that? Are you able to identify some factors for me that would explain that?
Well, basically, what you have is the Wexpro agreement goes back more than 30 years. You've got wells that are still producing from that time period. A lot of them are dropping off, but during those last 30 years, they've been drilling and adding to the base of the Wexpro company production gas. From the development of gas. And of course, costs have increased as you go from the 1980s to the 90s. And when a well is completed, it is completed at today's cost. So the cost of drilling continues to go up from year to year to year. Like buying a car or a house, you're looking back 30 years, a lot cheaper back then. And it just is the cost of that gas, this period of time when they close the books and start producing. It doesn't get cheaper out in the market. There's a lot of people that are drilling wells in the open market that were drilling it just for the oil or the liquids revenues. And they were ready to flare the gas. And we are kind of in a lull of gas prices as far as comparing with the market. But if you looked at our exhibit 1.10, it shows our forecast from those two agencies. And it shows how it is going up above $4 towards the end of our test period. In fact, I think it's getting close to $4.50. So the market is starting to turn around with this hot summer. It kept the prices up, and then we're going to be going into winter. So you can see it turn around real quick.
Is that a primary explanation for the drilling activity currently?
The prices as you drill and complete a new well, of course the new gas is costing more.
How much drilling activity is there currently?
I know that they've got one rig that they're drilling with. But from those one rig, they can, one pad, they can drill multiple wells. And so they're taking advantage of that. And so there's a number that are drilling right now, you know, complete one, drill another from that same pad. But I don't have the exact number with me of what they're currently drilling or their schedule for the future.
And shifting subjects, the injection withdrawal credit, I noticed a significant reduction
that's found on exhibit 1.4, page 2.
Right, thank you. What's the basis of the volume reduction there?
Well, during any certain test year, you might have more of an injection season or a withdrawal season. And so as you look at that, you can see that we are injecting about 14 million decatherms and withdrawing about 11. And so, of course, we don't charge the customer for gas we buy and have to put in the ground and store it there till winter. So we remove those costs from our gas costs, and basically that differential of the 3 million decatherms times the $4+ per decatherm drives that $15 million injection withdrawal adjustment. It's a credit to the customer, so they don't have to pay that other $15 million of gas they haven't used yet. We can't charge them for gas that is in the ground and just sitting there.
I'm looking for an explanation of why it's so different from the 1105-702 or 1105-708
the filings. The one that was at the end of last year, when in fact in October, that was a different test year. And the basis is the historical average cost of the gas that is injected versus what's withdrawn. And so during that prior period, you would have, I think it was about it's 15 million withdrawn and 14.7 injected. And so it netted to basically $277 cost. And so that during that test period, there was basically the same amount of ejections as withdrawals. And that's why there would have been no plus or minus effect to the rate that time. This time we've got more of a test year that's got injections and withdrawals. It's a 12-month test year. But this one is September 1st through October 31st of 2013, which has more injections than withdrawals. Those are all my questions. Ms. Clark, do you have any redirect based on my questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything more for this witness? All right. Then you're excused. All right, Ms. Clark, let's take up the next application, which is 1205709.
Company calls Mr. Kelly Mendenhall.
Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. You know, there's probably some evidence to be presented on 08 by these other parties, or at least I should offer them the opportunity. Excuse me. Mr. Jenner.
Yes, the division would like to.
Thank you.
I'd like to call Mr. W. Wright, and he will need to be sworn in.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Start out, would you please identify yourself, full name, address, and position?
My name is Douglas Wheelwright. I'm a utility analyst with the Division of Public Utilities. My address is 160 East, 300 South, Salt Lake City.
And Mr. Wheelwright, did you participate in the Division Public Utilities review of this docket number 1205708?
Yes, I did.
And did you prepare comments in regard to that review?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any corrections or clarifications with respect to that, the comments with respect to docket 1205708?
No, I do not.
And have you prepared a summary of the comments?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Docket number 1205708, known as the 191 pass-through, asked for commission approval to decrease the commodity rate components of natural gas rates. The division has reviewed the application and the calculations as submitted by the company. The requested reduction in the rates is mainly due to a reduction in the gathering charge that is to be paid to QEP Field Services Company. Questar Gas uses QEP Field Services to gather the cost of service gas under the WEPCO agreement. The charges under the system-wide gathering agreement are included in Questar Gas's rates as part of its purchased gas costs in the 191 account, and the collection of those costs are included as part of the SNG rate. Questar Gas believes certain charges of QEP for gathering services exceed the amounts contemplated under the system-wide gathering agreement. The Commission should be aware that the calculations of the SNG rate for the test period is based on a lower gathering charge than the amount claimed by QEP, and this issue is currently in litigation. It is the Division's understanding that Questar Gas has been paying a reduced gathering charge to QEP since June of 2012. Since the actual amount of the gathering charge is in dispute, there is a potential adjustment to rates pending the outcome of this litigation between the two companies. This issue may not be resolved for some time and could have a significant impact on future rates if the court determines that Questar should have paid the higher gathering charge. If this docket is approved as submitted, a typical GS customer will realize the decrease in their annual bill of $4.43. as presented by the company. The division recommends that the proposed rate be approved on an interim basis until the full audit of the 191 account can be completed. That concludes my remarks for this docket.
Thank you.
I have no further questions, sir.
Thank you. Any cross-examination?
No, thank you.
Anything further to present, Mr. Jenner?
No.
On this application? Mr. Proctor?
With the bench's permission, we would prefer presenting our statement upon these dockets at a single time at the conclusion of the company's case with respect to the balance of the remaining four.
Mr. Proctor, I think that's a sound idea. I wonder if we could have your witness address 08, and then we'll take the four, and I'll have all the witnesses take the four together, since we'll have a separate witness for Questar. Would you mind proceeding in that way? Would that be?
No, we'll do it. It'll be the same statement, but we can certainly do that. Mr. Martinez needs to be sworn.
Thank you. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. In accordance with past practice and procedure, the office has no objection to the interim approval of the rate adjustments for this docket, docket 12057-08. Thank you.
Thank you. Any cross-examination, Mr. Martinez? Okay. And anything further, Mr. Proctor? Thank you very much. Let's turn then to the remaining four applications, which are 09, 010, 11, and 12. And what I propose to ask of you, unless there's an objection, is that your witnesses each address those collectively, issue by issue. And so, Ms. Clark, would you proceed in that fashion, please?
Sure. The company calls Mr. Kelly Mendenhall.
Mr. Mendenhall, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Mendenhall, can you please state your name and business address for the record?
Kelly B. Mendenhall. My business address is 333 South State, Salt Lake City, Utah.
And what position do you hold at the company?
I'm the Director of Regulatory Affairs for Questar Gas.
Did you participate in the preparation of the application of Questar Gas to amortize the Conservation Enabling Tariff Balancing Account, docket number 12-057-09?
Yes, I did.
Did you also participate in the preparation of the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the Energy Efficiency Deferred Account Balance, docket number 12-057-10?
Yes.
Did you also participate in the preparation of the application of Questar Gas Company for a tariff change and adjustment to the low-income assistance energy assistance rate, docket number 12-057-11?
Yes.
And finally, did you participate in the preparation of the application of Questar Gas Company to include the infrastructure rate adjustment, docket number 12-057-12?
Yes.
Did you also review the memo that the Division of Public Utilities submitted dated August 15, 2012 regarding these four dockets?
Yes, I did.
I'd like to direct your attention to the first docket reference, which is the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the Conservation Enabling Tariff Balancing Account. It's the 09 docket. Did the company have any changes to the application?
No.
Were the application and its attachments true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they were.
Could you please summarize the relief the company seeks with that application?
Sure. In docket number 12-057-09, the application of Questar Gas to amortize the Conservation Enabling Tariff Balancing Account, the company proposes to amortize the June 2012 overcollected balance of $2.7 million. This overcollection is about $800,000 more than the amount that is currently being amortized through the Conservation Enabling Tariff. This change in the rate will result in a 72-cent annual decrease to the typical general service customer's bill, and the company is proposing that this change be made effective September 1st, 2012.
Thank you. I'd like to turn your attention now to the second docket we referenced, which is the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the energy efficiency deferred account balance. That is the 10 docket. Are you familiar with that as well?
Yes, I am.
And did the company have any changes to that application or its attachments?
No.
And is that application and its attachments true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they are.
Could you please summarize the release the company is seeking up with that application?
Sure. In docket number 1205710, the application of Questar Gas to amortize the energy efficiency deferred account balance, the company proposes to reduce the amortization amount from $39 million to $30 million. And over the past couple of years, this account is at a balance in it, and the company's been trying to draw that balance down with the goal of being near zero by the spring of 2014. And due to lower expenditures this year in the energy efficiency programs, we believe we can still reach that goal of drawing that balance down to zero by spring of 2014. While collecting less from customers. So that's why we're proposing to reduce the amount from $39 million down to $30. And this change in the rate will result in an $8.12 annual decrease to the typical general service customer's bill. And the company is proposing that this change be made effective September 1st, 2012.
Thank you. I'd like to draw your attention now to the third docket reference, which is the application of Questar Gas Company for a tariff change and adjustment to the low-income energy assistance rate. Are you familiar with that application?
I am.
Does the company have any changes to that application?
Yes, just one. In the application, if you turn to page 4, paragraph 3, the heading there is adjustment of account 191.8 balance. On the second sentence, it reads, during the period ending June 2012, the company under-collected $8,857 from customers. That should read over-collected $8,857 from customers. And then the next sentence, it says, hence this under-collection, that should read over-collection, has been added to the allowed amount of $1.5 million so that instead of the number being $1,508,857, that should read $1,491,143 will be collected from customers during the test period. And the division noted this correction in their memo and provided updated exhibits to show the effect of making this change on our exhibits. And so I reviewed their memo and their exhibits, and I agree with the changes they made.
With that modification and those changes reflected in the division's memo, is the application and the attachments incorrect to the best of your knowledge, given those changes?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. Menahal, I'd like to draw your attention to the document number 12-057-12, the application of Questar Gas Company to include the infrastructure rate adjustment. You're familiar with this application as well?
Yes, I am.
And did the company have any changes in this application?
Not so much changes, but the division proposed some changes, and maybe I'll just summarize those as I explain the docket. That's okay. In docket number 12-057-12, the application of Questar Gas Company to include the infrastructure rate adjustment, the company is proposing to adjust the infrastructure rate to include investment related to high-pressure infrastructure replacement projects that occurred between December of 2011 and July of 2012. The majority of this investment comes from Theater Line 25 in Utah County. And in the original filing, due to some internal miscommunication, the company provided some numbers that included some double counting of some projects. And the division in their review and in their audit of the filing noticed this error and brought it to the company's attention, and we were able to make some corrections. And so in their memo, the division provided updated exhibits correcting the error and showing the actual investment that the company incurred during that time period. And so the overall revenue requirement after the division's changes was reduced by about $100,000. And so after the revisions and using the corrective exhibits provided by the division, the company is requesting a $2.1 million increase in annual revenue. And if approved, this would increase a typical GS customer and annual bill by about $1.58 per year, or 0.23%. And the company is proposing that this change be made effective September 1st, 2012.
Thank you. And with the division modifications, are the application and attachment term correct? So that's your question.
Yes, they are.
Mr. Mendenhall, I apologize. I neglected to ask you to summarize the company's position on the 11 docket, the Low Income Assistance Energy Assistance Rate. Would you please do so now?
Sure.
Thank you.
In docket number 1205711, the application of Questar Gas Company for a tariff change and adjustment to the Low Income Assistance Energy Assistance Rate, Questar is proposing to make small changes to the energy assistance rate so that the company is collecting the commission-approved $1.5 million. And the company is also proposing to change the annual energy assistance credit for qualified low-income customers from $52 to $41. This will result in a 4-cent per year increase for the typical GS customer, and the company is asking that this be made effective September 1st, 2012.
Mr. Mendenhall, if all four of these applications were granted, and the application, the 09 application to which Mr. Kennedy testified, were also granted, can you speak to the effect, the cumulative effect it would have on an average customer?
Yeah, the overall effect of all these dockets would be about $11.50 per year, a decrease for the typical GS customer. That's about 1.7%.
Thank you. Mr. Mendenhall is available for further examination.
Thank you.
That includes the 08 docket, Mr. Mendenhall?
Yeah, that's all five. Thank you.
Any cross-examination? Mr.
Jenner?
No. Proctor?
No. Just a couple of questions. Thank you. Mr. Mendenhall?
Yes.
Am I correct that your request in 1205711 is a request for the implementation of the rates that is not interim, but rather an immediate adjustment, not subject to review?
Oh, no, I think it would be subject to review.
That's also interim. And that is true then of 08, 09, and 10, and 12?
Correct.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any redirect?
No, thank you.
All right. You're excused, Mr. Mendenhall. Mr. Jenner.
The division will recall Mr. Wheelwright.
Mr. Wheelwright, you've been sworn.
Thank you.
And would you mind then having him address all four of the applications the way Mr. Mendenhall did?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Wheelwright, have you reviewed the application and filing of Questar in docket number 1205-7-09, 10, 11, and 12?
Yes, I have.
And were you involved in preparing a response to those dockets for the Division of Public Utilities?
Yes, I was.
Do you have any corrections or clarifications with respect to the response from the division to any of those four?
In docket number 11, we inadvertently omitted the attachment for that. We provided that to the commission today and asked that be included.
And I believe I provided you one on the desk up there.
Thank you.
Note, just the one.
I have it here.
There.
Thank you.
And have you provided a summary of these dockets?
Yes, I have.
Would you please go ahead and provide this for them?
Docket number 1205709, known as the CET or Conservation Enabling Tariff, asked for commission approval to amortize the June 2012 over-collected balance of $2.6 million. The division has reviewed the application and the calculation as submitted by the company.
If the docket is approved as submitted, a typical GS customer will realize a decrease in their annual bill of 72 cents per year. In docket 120-5710, known as the DSM, or Demand Side Management Energy Efficiency Program, the commission, the program asked for commission approval to fund the existing program and amortize the $9.6 million balance in this account. The proposed rate is a reduction of $9 million from the amount approved by the commission in docket 110-5715. The reduction in the amount is due to the lower program expenditures and reduced participation in the current energy efficiency program. If approved by the commission, a typical GS customer will see a reduction in their annual bill of $8.12 per year. Docket 120-5711 is a request to adjust the lowest income assistance rate component of the DNG rate for customers. In reviewing the initial application, the division noted a minor error in the narrative in the exhibit as noted by the company. This issue was discussed with the company, and the division has provided a revised exhibit with corrected amounts. As mentioned before, the division's August 16th memo references the corrected exhibit 1.2R, or if the exhibit was inadvertently left out of the memo. A copy was provided today, and we ask that they be included to complete the record. The division has reviewed the revised exhibit and agrees with the rate as shown. The effect of the proposed rate on a typical GS residential customer will be an increase in their annual gas bill of approximately 4 cents per year. Docket number 120-5712 is a request to increase the infrastructure rate component of the DNG rates for customers. The division reviewed all of the exhibits included in the application and agrees with the method of calculation shown in those exhibits. However, in review of the initial application, division auditors noted that there were discrepancies in some of the amounts as they were filed. This issue was discussed with the company. The company provided the division with revised exhibits showing the correct amounts. The corrected exhibits have been included with the division's August 16th memo as exhibits 1.1R, 1.2R, 1.3R, and 1.4R. The effect of the proposed rates on a typical GS residential customer will be an increase in their annual bill of approximately $1.58 per year. In summary, the division has reviewed the applications provided by the company and has suggested changes or corrections from the original application to two of the five dockets. The division supports and recommends the rate changes requested in dockets 120-5708, 9, 10, and as revised in dockets 11 and 12. The proposed rate should be approved on an interim basis until the division has completed an audit of the individual entries in respective accounts. While each of the dockets is presented independently, the division has completed a summary of combined impact of all five dockets on a typical GS customer. If all the dockets are approved, the typical customer will see a decrease in their annual bill of $11.57, or a 1.7% reduction. The division believes that the request to change the rates in these five dockets will represent fair and equitable rates and are in the public interest. That concludes our remarks.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wheelwright?
Thank you.
I just have a couple, Mr. Wheelwright. I believe there's an evaluation process associated with this infrastructure program, pilot, if you will. Are you acquainted with that and this and the division's efforts to develop an evaluation plan for it.
I'm a little bit familiar with that. I believe we, at some point, there needs to be a complete audit of the infrastructure tracker. That has not been completed to date, but it, I believe it's scheduled to be done.
Do you have any sense of the status of the division's evaluation plan for this program?
I don't have an idea what the auditors are doing on that. I don't know.
And with reference to all of the auditing that lies in front of the division relative to these five applications, do you have a sense for how long it will take the division to complete its work and issue final reports in these matters?
I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take to do that. That's up to the auditors.
Thank you. Anything, any questions based on mine, Mr. Kim?
No, I would just like to first move to amend the division's action request response to include this additional exhibit, and then I don't know if you'd like to take notice of this or enter it into evidence, but we move to do that at this time also. I'd like to ask one further question, Mr. Wheelwright, and that's simply if do you believe that if these rates as approved through, if approved in docket 1205708 through 12, would that result in just and reasonable rates?
Yes,
we would.
Thank you. Mr. Proctor.
Mr. Martinez has a statement. The office has no objection to entering the comments as evidence, as we would, the testimony and the amended. I believe that motion was still pending.
Thank you. I'll certainly receive it in evidence. It'll be part of the record of the proceeding.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buck. Thank you. I failed to identify myself earlier for the record, so I'll do so at this time if that's okay. I am Dan Martinez. I am a utility analyst with the Office of Consumer Services. My business address is 160 East 300 South in Salt Lake City, Utah. With respect to dockets 12057-09, 10, and 12, and in accordance with past practice and procedure, the office has no objection to the interim approval of the rates of these dockets. The other docket, the low income docket number 12-057-11, in that docket, the office agreed to the overall amount of low income assistance 2 years ago, and we continue to support that and recommend its approval at this time. Thank you. Any further questions or direct examination? Any cross-examination?
No, thank you.
Mr. Cheddar? Thank you. You're excused. Any other matters to come before the commission relative to these five applications? I hear none. Let's be in recess for 10 minutes, please. We'll reconvene at about 5 minutes to four. Thank you. We'll be on the record. The action request response dated August 16, 2012 will be identified in the record as Exhibit 1, and we'll identify as Exhibit 1A the QGC Exhibit 1.2R that was supplied by the division, I believe, after after submitting their initial response. And I've been authorized by the commissioners to inform you of their ruling to grant the five applications, the rate effects, or the applications, and the relief requested in the applications will become effective September 1st, 2012, as requested on an interim basis in each case, subject to further examination by the division and future proceeding after that set of audit reports is presented to the commission. Is there anything further to come before the commission at this time? Okay. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.